Continuing the syllabus, I took away the clock.
It's dangerous. We discussed last time the idea of Kiddushei Tos and how it's been unfortunately expanded way beyond the its original contours as found in the Tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He had four cases and it's expanded to many others, which we thought was not appropriate. This leads us to a question which is not directly part of the Masadic Edushin's domain, but in a certain sense it is. Because sometimes you may be put in a situation where you're asked whether certain shortcomings must be revealed. Disclosure obligations. He or she has something which is a problem, and if they go through the wedding and you're the Masadic Kedushin and never disclose it, not discussing a Kedushin Tos from some previous marriage, a Kedushin Tos on your watch that hasn't been disclosed. So it certainly is relevant. And the question becomes, what's this threshold? Obviously, a person has a pimple on his big toe. You don't have to tell the girl that, you know, I have a pimple on my big toe. But I didn't know. Had I known, I would never have married you with a pimple on your big toe. That's absurd. So, understand. It's an extreme. On the other hand, there could be things which are so critical and yet not obvious that perhaps we should assume there is a disclosure obligation. So, one of the sources of recent vintage is the Kehilas Yaakov Masechta Yevamos. He's discussing a particular physical blemish which has halachic ramifications, but the Gemara that he comments on is in Yevamos Daf Memhei, but there was somebody whose father was not Jewish. Having trouble finding a shidduch. Father's not Jewish. So he told him, go far away, no one will ever know, and get married. So the stipler asks, what? This is dishonesty. You're hiding information. You can't do that. If you want to sell a car, you know, or a house, you're not supposed to hide information. You're supposed to be upfront and honest. And if the information is so critical, it could rise to a level we call in our language mekach tos. So maybe the sale of the house or the car is not good. Maybe the marriage is not good. What are the standards? That's just a question. So he gives a remarkable, remarkable answer. He says you cannot compare buying a car or a house to getting married. In what sense? Because you want to buy a car, you know, the car manufacturer manufactures thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of identical cars. So why should you settle for a car which has a blemish when you get the exact same car without a blemish? So it can rise pretty easily to a level of toe, same thing with a house. But human beings are unique. Every person was created in his own or her own tzelem elokim. Can't say, you have a pimple in your big toe? Okay, I won't marry you. I marry someone the same as you without the pimple in the big toe. No such person. Everyone follow what I just said? Oh, so the question becomes, so does it, nothing? You don't disclose anything? Zero? So the stipler goes as far as to say something which is, again, remarkable. He says, look, he didn't disclose the fact that his father was not Jewish. So the answer is, in his version, if someone marries a man or woman, and they're happily married, and a year later he finds out, you know what? My chos and my kala, the father's not Jewish. What would you do then? What do you think? So he says, if this blemish is so severe that you want to get divorced at that later stage, then you have to reveal it up front, otherwise not. That's an amazing, amazing statement. There's so many things you don't have to reveal, because post facto, the person would say, all right, listen to that, everything's otherwise is fine. I'm not gonna seek a divorce. You understand it's a very great leniency in terms of what you don't have to disclose to them. So the story that's out there, I can't document it, is that Rav Yoshev Zatzal, the mechutin of this type, disagreed with the with his mechutin, with Rav Kanievsky, and thought that that only applies in the case of lineage. The father's not Jewish. No. The person is, he's not before, we assume he's 100% Jewish. Not the greatest yichus in the world, but the individual, him or herself, is fine. It's something external, which is more internal to the person himself or herself. You cannot adopt that criterion. That's what I can't vouch for whether this is true or not true, but I was told that that was the case. Okay. Who am I to stick my neck out between the two b'chutanim? Yeah.
Has there any experience cases where perhaps we don't need to reveal something because it won't constitute a mekatos, but maybe from a pastoral perspective, if we want them to be, have a happy marriage, they should get things out there on the table earlier rather than later?
As a matter of fact, you're raising a very, very sticky point. Let's imagine that someone does not disclose something because they went to the rabbi, his name is Rabbi Kanievsky, and Rabbi Kanievsky said, you don't have to disclose it. You disclose it. But the spouse, when he or she finds out about it, it's furious. This is dishonesty. What do you mean dishonesty? I went to the greatest rabbi in the world, and he said, I don't have to disclose it. I don't care, great rabbi, no great rabbi. You should have told me. That itself can cause a terrible problem with the marriage. So even if it's technically speaking permissible to withhold information, it's not good for the marriage. Not good for the marriage. So that's a question. It's a very serious question. Very serious. In his letter, in his tshuva, in the Kilas Yaakov, he writes the following sentence. I'm going to quote to you the sentence. If you reveal everything, you know, at the beginning, it's, I don't understand the Kilas Yaakov. You explain why I don't have to say at the beginning. Say it later on. We all know later on when things are already, what do they say today, hot and heavy. They're already romantically or emotionally connected to one another. Then you say something. So I found a sefer called the Bina Sashiduch. This is Parsha Shavua Shiduchim, Chayesora. He quotes Rav Zilberstein, Yosha's son-in-law. Quotes the Chazanish. Whatever people, the tzibur is makbid, is called the moon. And then he adds, Ein ze me hatvuno lahaster davar shebesofo yizgala v'atarumas tishor l'chol ha'chaim. Because it's not wise to hold, not to disclose it. And when he or she'll find out, for the rest of their life, they'll have tainus, tarumas. Everybody knows that it happened to the Chazon Ish himself. Also know his biography. I won't go into it right now. What do you do with this type of proof? It's a proof. Gemara Yevamos. Some rejected it. They should have asked. They went to a faraway place. Where's your father? Oh, he's back in the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. You know, like to imagine the people who crossed over the Atlantic. Where's your father? Tell me something about him. His name is Charlie. If you wanted to find out, you should have gone to find out. He says, you know what? The average person is not going to think that the father was not Jewish. And they assume that the father is Jewish. And the father's not Jewish. And still not a Kiddush HaTos. And he still don't have to reveal it. But I think the better way to reject it is different. They would never, ever find out. See, we're so used to a world of internet. They told him to go far, far away. The woman will never know that her father-in-law is not Jewish. And it's not the fact itself. It's the perception. And here, of course, here was Rav Yosha's point that makes much sense. That's totally external. So that A, she'll never find out, B, it's external. Because Rav Yosha paskin halacha, you have to say that the father is not Jewish. But it's against the Gemara. I think, no, it's not against the Gemara. In the old days, in your faraway place, they would never find out. Today, you're always going to find out. No, you can't keep things a secret forever. I know of a case where somebody was an adoptive child. Adoptive child, totally Jewish, adopted child. And they were asked, a very distinguished rabbi, are they required to spill the beans that the child is adopted, and not the child of the parents who brought him up? And the great, great rabbi said, no. Okay. Didn't reveal it. They got engaged. And of course, somebody spilled the beans, because, you know, they all, everyone, any story of an adoption, somebody knows what happened 20-something years ago. And so they went to a great, great rabbi to decide what they should do. Should they continue with the shidduch? And the rabbi said, if the goy is a good boy, yes! My nafkamina, adopted, not adopted. Baruch Hashem. Someone who's not so wise might have given a different answer. Ah, you fooled us? We didn't fool you. Went to the stipler. It wasn't the stipler. Went to someone of a great stature, you know, in this country. Ah, I see I made a mistake. What I quote from Rabbi Yashiv is in print. It's in the Nishmas Avraham. Nishmas Avraham quotes it. Now, something amazing. What would you say if a Kohen is getting married and he has to marry a woman who is, you know, kosher lekohuna? And what happens? She's a grusha. She doesn't tell him. Come out! Kohen not allowed to marry a grusha. So the Ran writes in Ksuba as follows. They didn't have to reveal it. Why? Efsha shiya arev olav ha-mekach. Afo pishes isu bedover. Huh? You believe what's going on over here? If you have a physical blemish, nah, no one's going to take that. Even the Dorim, the Gemara in Ksuba, no one wanted a woman who's in the Dorim. But the fact that she's a grusha, she's a kohen, that, you know, maybe she wouldn't care about. Wouldn't care about? How is that possible to say with Yisroel v'cheskes kashus? Says the Chazon Ish, people have yetzer haras for women don't have any blemishes physically on the Dorim. Aye, they're prohibited. I read his the words of Chazon Ish. Nay, the la'achar has bonus this yischarit for marrying her. They'll have regretted. Hachah, I need to know al rega hakidushin v'chupa. At that moment, she'ilu noda lo achshav berega she'samech bekirvosu misatzi berichuka iyo yashav kerega v'kovash yitzro. It's not a little bit of nuchach. It's a suffix. Ulo kadma pachzuso lismonanuso. And therefore, even the whole thing was betosed. The Shazan didn't say that she was a divorcee. And you saw Becheskas Kashis. He wouldn't get involved initially with someone that's not allowed for him. Doesn't help the battle condition. At that moment, he would not have regretted it. It's only a suffix, and therefore, you have to have it again. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Atke
Lekach. This is a Chazon Ish.
This is a Chazon Ish, right? For this reason, not only is a marriage, but she's not required to parent to reveal it. We find this mind-boggling. Sounds like his brother-in-law, stipler. You don't have to reveal it, but you know for sure he wouldn't want. But here, maybe he would want. What will happen in the case, which is neither nor? No umdah to the muchach that he would want to stay with it. No, the milk that he would not want. What do you do? The Ran says it's Efsher. Efsher Lukudeshes. Whereas the disciple said, only if you know. So they wouldn't want, it's not Kiddush with Efsher. Again, it's contradictory inferences within the stipulum. If you don't know, so I thought as follows. If you don't know, it's like this. If he told it right at that moment, Chazon Ish says maybe he would agree with it. He agree with it. But he's doing an umdana. They wouldn't want to get divorced if you found out about it later. Later. Then you need that most people would not want to get divorced. They find out later. At the time, at that moment, even if a small percentage. That's what I thought. In any event, there's much more to talk about. But you have to understand, some things should not be said. Not everything should be said. BRCA gene. Let's talk about one common case. BRCA gene. You know what that means? You know what it means?
Which is likely to cause certain genetic diseases.
BRCA is breast cancer. Breast cancer. So in that same Sefer, Rabbi Zilberstein said you have to reveal it. It's a tremendous chance, very high potential, getting breast cancer. He goes further and says, if your mother has it, you're required to test to see if you have it. That's what he says. According to the stipler, it's impossible. But when it gets married and finds the wife's bracket, they get divorced. Not a chance. I'm sorry, what's your question?
Wouldn't it be, rather than saying it's a chiyuv to check, it should just be a chiyuv, she has to make sure that the husband, the person she's going out with, knows.
Then that's what we're talking about. She has to check to know. She has to know. How can she tell him?
No, but she can say, my mother has, and if he feels, I want you to go check, then she has to go check.
That would also be good. That would also be good. According to the stipler, you don't have to reveal it, you don't have to check for it. It seems that even if you go against the stipler, what happens in the case where the mother's case is well known. It's not a secret. No cancer patients, some are very top secret. Some are upfront about it. They even have these support groups, what's called Sharsheris. Right? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a very important group. So remember, there's a Sharsheris. Everyone knows you don't join that Samkacha. Maybe you shouldn't have to reveal it. Because any boy or the boy's parents who are so interested to know would ask. Mothers in Sharsheris, did she carry a BRCA? Do you carry a BRCA, the young lady? They don't ask, they don't care. I think that's a very important dakuta.
Well, Yashin has a tshuva where he talks about a girl who's not a psula, and she says that she has to
learn. Okay, let me quote that tshuva. It's a kovitz tshuvas. Chelek alav sin kuf nun tes. Why? Why? Well, he's worried about Mekachtos. It's not so simple. He wants to say as follows. Is it to show that Rabbi Grossman, that's a father, Rabbi Israel Grossman, he'll never find out. You know, people don't know if there are more rights. If a bocher comes and says today, Pesach Pasuach Matzosi, you give Malchus. How do you know? So never find out. So therefore, he says, even though there is one opinion that says that Mekachtos, we don't pass on the way. So fine, so Rav Yosher is masculine. And when he says at the end of the day, you have to tell him anyway. Otherwise, it's a ksuba problem. They'll have their whole life without a ksuba. And then he said, you can't fool people. You shouldn't be fooling people. So from the falling people, you can say, I'll come to that in a minute. What about the ksuba? The Ramah writes, ksuba today is not so important, bichlal. What's the point of a ksuba? Shotekala menav lotzia. The Ramah writes, bismana rabbeinu gershim, made a cherem against divorce, your wife against the will. Ksuba does not have the same significance as it used to have. Number one. Number two, what means no ksuba? There is a ksuba. Yeah, so if someone knows it's something which is not right in the ksuba, but as long as she doesn't know something right in the ksuba, so it's again no talak hamesiyah. She thinks the ksuba is fine. He thinks it's fine. She thinks it's fine. Everything says fine. He doesn't know that it's no good. She didn't tell him she's not really a psula. More than that. The Chelkas Mechalkin says, Kinsa Becheskas Pesula Venimtsas Beula. Even if there's no ksuba, there's Tosefes ksuba. Tosefes ksuba. Tosefes ksuba? No, that's much more than our ksuba. If you know what goes on in our ksubas today, it's much more than the required amount. So it shouldn't be a problem. Once that a case, they wrote there was a mistake in the ksuba. The ksuba was a ksuba of a Gioris, which, as we'll get to later, is a smaller amount. But this Gioris was converted before she was 3 years old. The Mishnah says, that kind of a case. No. Nothing to do with that. It's the fact that, even though it's ksubasa masayim, even though she's a Gioris. And they wrote, because the standard Gioris form has meya. So I asked Rav Zalman Nechemya about this. I said, you know what? It's true, only said meya, but it's Tosefes Ksuba. Tosefes Ksuba is way, way more than Masayim. It could be 50 times Masayim. We'll get to that later on. He said, you're right. So it shouldn't be a problem with the Ksuba. There's a tshuva by the Klerzenberger Rebbe, the Divrei Yatzev, had this exact case. So Ksuba, if number one these days, if it's a get, she's merkel the Ksuba. These days, Amona usually doesn't collect the Ksuba. Number two, he quotes the Rambam. A bocha says Pesach Pesuach Malkin also. So we'll never find out. I was no dam, but you know there's no Tanis dam anymore. As we get married older age, there's no Tanis dam. It says in Shulchan Aruch. Ah, you'll say she's fooling him. Ooh, the Klerzenberger. Let me explain to you. He's not fooling her. But he played around in his youth. Is he mechuyav to tell her? She'll say, well, there's nothing physical about it. And these days we have STDs, Alice Shrek, like what you have nowadays. But let's put that aside. I once had a situation. It was Rav Nechemya was asked this question. He was... didn't want to be matter to say that she's a psula. She wasn't. But he said, you're permitted to say a lie that she was nensa. Because this is not a moral stain. She fooled around. I mean, if he fools around, he doesn't say anything. What?
Is passing that before the Kedushin, after the Kedushin?
No, she doesn't have to reveal. No. Must she reveal anything about her past? So the Klerzenberger says, no, reveal nothing. Rabbi Yashiv says, have to reveal because of the ksuba. I told you about it. We can possibly get out of that one. And Rabbi Zalman Chaim held like Rabbi Yashiv, the ksuba, but, you know, and Anusa, she wrote a smaller ksuba. I had a better say Mukas Eitz. So that won't work. He says, Mukas Eitz, if lo hikibah ksuba samana, I think if you should follow the Klerzenberger Rebbe, I'm not a Klerzenberger Chassid, but that's what I think it should be. Okay, Rabbi said, part two of today's shiur is a totally different topic. Pruruvu. Obviously, a Masada Kiddushin is helping to create a Pruruvu mitzvah. If you open the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to show you what you have in your Aruch Mekomas here. The very first line of Ebenezer. Literally the first line. Simon Aleph, Sif Aleph, line Aleph. Says the Mechaber as follows. Chayev kol Adam Lisa Isha Kedei Lifrots V'Lirbos. Stop right here. Lechi approval. This is one of the most important, not the only, Chalila the only, but it's, that's the basis of this Chiyuv. It's the Puruvu. So let's understand what Puruvu is and what it isn't. Important to understand it. You know, we can't go and discuss it every last prat to prat, but we can discuss at least the primary criteria. So we know that the Mishnah says in Masechet Yevamos, that's probably in your somewhere here. Well, Yevatel Adam Yipiriv Erivya Elam Ken Yesh Lo Bonim. You pass on a boy and a girl, Basila. What does that mean? If you have a boy and a girl, you're allowed to be Mevatel from Puruvu. Mevatel, you did Puruvu already. The answer is, in my opinion, you did the minimal Puruvu. Every child you have is more Puruvu. You're allowed to be Mevatel from that Puruvu. What is the Chiyuv of Puruvu? So Rambam says a Chiyuv, and it's quoted Halacha and Shulchan Aruch here in the very first Siman. Sivov. What's it then? The Rambam writes that if a woman tells her husband he can be Monea Onasa, permissible. If there's already Bonim, Puruvu. But if Loki and Puruvu, he says, Chayav Livol B'chol Ona Ashiulo Bonim, which is to say, Shotor Shenemar Puruvu. Seems to me, from here we see that the Maisa Mitzvah of Puruvu is Mitzvah's owner. Mitzvah's owner. And you should try to keep doing it after you have a boy and a girl, as we said before. What'll happen? Nebuch, he loses his child, passes away. If they leave children of their own, you discharge a mitzvah. He didn't know anything. But he did. Person Nebuch died. It says it was what that person did. Doesn't make a difference. And what happens if the children Nebuch die with no children of their own? Has to do it again. So what's pshat? So Menchas Chinuch says, see from here that the mitzvah is having the children. And that's why, even if you have a child of mamzer, you fulfill the mitzvah. Aye, the mitzvah of Avera. No, it's only the Hechsha mitzvah, the beer. Like they take the matzah into the street on Pesach, on Shabbat Pesach. He's very upset at Tosfos. Tosfos says the mitzvah of the kasha esed the chalosa says, he said, no, the law says that it's the beginning of the beer. And the essay is the end of the beer. He says, no, the essay is 9 months later. How do you know that the mitzvah is not the beer? It's mefurish. Beis Shmuel, at the very beginning of Evan Ezer. Sivkot Nyud. Kozagol Smak. Ishashin is Ababam Bati. It's a mitzvah puruvu, but no lechol davar. Anias Daiti, Mechas Chinuch is correct in terms of what may be a kiyum mitzvah, insofar as it exempts him from additional attempts to have more children. But as far as the ma'aseh mitzvah is concerned, the ma'aseh mitzvah is, as the Rambam says, livo b'chol onam. You're required to do that. Is there a disconnect in Mais and Kiyim? Now is there a 9 month disconnect? There may be a permanent disconnect. A man gets married, has one child, another, so many children, 10 children. They're all boys. They're all girls. No? So he, technically speaking, should he try to have kids? I mean, his wife may not be able to have any more kids. And that's what it says. That's my opinion. That's why, if a person, the Mechasinach has a kasha, the Gemara says if he had children when he was not Jewish and he was Megayer, so he passed an halacha, that done. Frekta Mechasinach, wait a minute. He fulfilled the mitzvah when he was Potter, when he wasn't Jewish. Why is it Rosh Hashanah? If you fulfill the mitzvah when you're not Chayev, you have to do it again. I believe the answer is, you're right. A fulfillment of Kiryu doesn't have, because he was not Jewish at the time. Doesn't matter. He's a boy and a girl. There's a yichus between them, as opposed to an Evid. There's no yichus. You're not required to have more children. So far, so good. I'm going to say what the definition of the mitzvah is. But we all know that aside from the mitzvah of Furuvu, a boy and a girl, is also a mitzvah known as Sheves. Lo so bro le Sheves Yitzara. Famous Gemara, you know about that. Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chorin, Lisa to Mishnah, Lisa Shifche Neyachol, Baschorin Neyachol. Right? What does that mean? If he would be Yachol, it would be enough. In fact, Tosfos says, why would it be enough? If he's Lisa Shifche Yachol, the child is not his. Child's not his. We know that. Isha viladeh atil adoneha. Child's not a fully Jewish child. Says Tosfos, if he could, if he would be allowed to marry a shifcha, we'd let him do so. We wouldn't force the other to free him. Why? Shevas mia yachal lekayim. In the puravuna. Wow. So it's Shevis. That's the most significant area where you have to force a guy to, you know, try harder to fulfill that mitzvah of Shevis. Can't blame Tosfos, the Mishnah. Has the Mishnah getting their mouth conclude? Hello, the river, all of the Pir of the river. Shenemel atol barolos ever shitzara. Fine. Shiler about sight. What'll happen if a man is married? It turns out his wife has no eggs. No. Egg donor. Just saw today in the Tumel Eretz Yisrael. There was an egg donor. And the egg donor, the Bezdin passes, we can't confirm the child's Jewishness unless we can confirm the Jewishness of the egg donor. Was also a presumptive Jew, but the Bezdin didn't check it out. Oh, they're going crazy in Eretz Yisrael about this. But I have a different shayla. If the egg donor is not Jewish, and if you hold that the mother is the genetic mother, so the baby's born not Jewish, has to have a geiris, which I believe is a more prevalent opinion nowadays, how would you let her have the child in the first place? So it's so zera levatola. Child's not his. He doesn't fulfill Puravu. I believe the answer is Shevis. Shevis is fulfilled. It's exactly the case of the Gemara, right? Lisa Shifra and Yochel. But if Yochel, it would work. So his wife's having a child with an egg donor is comparable to the Shifra case. May not be his child, but still fulfill the mitzvah of Shevis. It's interesting. The Mishnah says he married for 10 years for Lo Yolda. What if Lo Yolda? What if Yolda but only had one child and she had secondary infertility? It exists, Rabosai. So the Netziva is a chiddush of the Shultas. You would not compel him to. You wouldn't compel him to marry again. Why not? Only has one child. One child is the Iker. Yes, it's true, Puravu, you should try, you know, you have the Chiyuv to try have a boy and a girl. But the fundamental mitzvah is Shevis and B'diyevet, one child is enough, and getting divorced is B'diyevet, You would not compel a divorce or to take another wife as long as one child has been born. It's in the Tzivra, it's in the Shiltas. Good.
Isn't it foolish that if he has a boy and a girl and one of them
die,
that he has to have more children?
100% he has to have more children. He won't compel a divorce. So he won't have. It's b'diavad. That's what the Netziva writes in Shilta Yud Ches. Give a look. Sivkot and Beis. But now, a boy and a girl is good, right? Says the Gemara in Yevamos, no. No, so Yisha v'yalduso, Yisha v'ziknuso. Bana bizialduso, bana bizeknuso. Baboker, zraz arecha, vala erev al tanach yadecha. Hey, it's a more than a boy and a girl. So the Ramban writes, laftakanti el kein yishiv derech eretz. So therefore you wouldn't force someone, because only yishiv derech eretz. So now we go to literally the first Beis Shmuel in Ebenezer. Beis Shmuel, you know, is the main Mefarsh Ebenezer. There's so much to say. This is comment number one, the very first. The Beis Shmuel writes like this: Chai, quotes the Rambam, Chai liva b'kolona, afilu shehirsha says bala shivana unasa Chai liva b'kolona, achilo bonim. Rambam. What do you say? Ach achilo bonim. Mahani Rishus Shalom, I feel him yachal all the holid. Ain yo damin all the Rambam chilik ze, to Mahani Mechila Shalom, Acharakim Purivirivya, lo Mahani Komish Purivirivya, I feel him Purivirivya, Mikomakom, Chayab Lakaim what? La Erev al Tanach Yodecha. Aitz the Rabbonan, so what? Well, Kwantar Ramban is no kasha. Not it's less than the Rabbonan. He calls it Yishuv Derech Eretz, what he calls it. It's good to have more children in the Jewish community. Yishuv Derech Eretz. The Rambam writes as follows. As a quote, Af al pi shekim adam Mrs. Piri v'rivya, he mitzuvah midivrei sofrim, shalo yivotel milifos v'libros kolz man shesh b'koach. It's not a chiyah with divrei sof. This doesn't sound mitzvah with divrei sof. It's a chiyah mitzvah with divrei sof. Right? But more than the words yishuv derech eretz, I would say. Laftakanti, as the Ramban said. And he adds, what should he have quoted? Shenemar, if you want to put a pasuk, levatach yedach. No. Shekol ha-mosif nefesh achas v'yisrael ki rabona olam.
Who says this?
Rambam. This fits bonei olam as the main organization that helps these people. They got it from this Rambam. Bona Olam. So the Pesach Tshuva, in his first comment in all of Ebenezer, Sivkot and Aleph, trying to answer the kasha of the first Beis Shmuel, what's the difference before or after, writes as follows. Like this. Look, he says, La'erev al tanach yodecha. He quotes this from the Birkeos of the Chida. The kasha is no kasha. La'erev means al tanach, even le'itim rechokos, rakshle yaniach legamri. Not chay b'cholona. She's mochel. Enachinami, shall erba tanach yodecha mukhiv ba'es minaitim. Meiridik. Not each and every owner. Well, okay, you got to do it next year. That's a beautiful answer of the Pesach Tshuva and the Birkei Yosef. You could also answer that even according to the Rambam, it's not a chiyuv gom, we use the word mitzvah, not chiyuv. Because you look on the Franklin, the start of the Ramach, yes, the kasha. That the Gemara says, "Kol Mishena Oskul the period of Rivia Ki Lishovik Domim." What's that based upon? The Mishnah Sanhedrin, Matzal Nevesh Achaz Mistrol Ki Nakiyam Olam Malei. So Kol Amosif Ki Nabonei Olam. That's the expression. It's a kiyum daraisa pruravu, but it's not a chiyuv. If this is correct, Rabbi Osai, not like the pischei tshuva. Even if he permanently ceases to attempt to have children after a boy and a girl, it's also not so terrible. It's not a chiyuv. According to the pischei tshuva, it's a chiyuv just le'itim, not every owner. According to this, just lashon of the called the Rabban, it's certainly not a chiyuv. According to the Rabban, it's not a full chiyuv. Okay. Now the following very interesting thing. In Simon Aleph, again, Siv Ches. A man who Nebuch lost his wife is required to remarry. But if he knows he's not a Ben Bonim, he can no longer have children, not where the whole it, Yisha She'ena Bas Bonim. Okay, so who you marry depends whether you're able to have children or not. Then he says, Im Yesh Lo Bonim Harbe, you marry a young woman who can have more children, there'll be a fight. My kids, you know. My kids from the first wife, kids from the second wife. Oy vey. That's what it says in the Ramah, Simon Aleph, Sif Ches.
You're going to have the same problem if she has children from her first
wife. So she gets them, she has no children.
No, but if she has children from the first,
I understand. So far,
from the first marriage, she has children from the first marriage. We could talk too.
Okay, so far, someone has no children. I told you. Fine. I had to broker peace agreements within families, but the nakuda over here is someone who is already who's presently not married. Who to marry? All right. What about somebody who's married right now? But his wife doesn't want to have any more children. What about fighting with her? You heard about potential fights with potential children from a second wife. Right now, here and now, I want another kid. And she says no. What happens then? Chavachom, you shouldn't fight. You're afraid of a fight with your new wife because there may be children born to her. What about your present wife? Take a look, Rabosai, in the, I don't know if you have it, in Shulchan Aruch in front of you, in the Simen Hey Pischei Tshuva Sivkoton Yud Aleph, talk here about people who have kosher ikrim, whatever that means these days, which render you sterile. Writes as follows: what's a chasam sofer? May a woman drink kosher ikrim, a pill, a permanent contraceptive. Both, if you can get this, you'll be a trillionaire. Billionaire, okay. Take one pill, that's it, done. He says like this: if she fulfilled the mitzvah of Shevis, she's allowed to do it. What about her husband? Story of Rabbi Chia's wife. So she's allowed to do it. He wants more kids. Then take a second wife. What if it divorced this wife? Today, Echena ben Gershem, she's the shush of her husband. What should you get from him? But if he won't divorce her, and he won't give her permission to take the pill, she's not required to the tzara atzim of neshibud alabala, the tzara godol of fioros ene amora. She should take a pill, even though he doesn't want. You don't like it, divorce me. Wow. So Rav Moshe writes in his Chelek Gimel Siman Chav Dalet, it's hard for them to carry pregnancies. She's still a little weaker than the average woman. So we can be mad to her if she's weak to wait a period of time after having one child before contemplating an additional pregnancy. Certainly if she already had Puruvu. How long should you wait? So the doctors say, a year. It's healthy to wait a year to your child's first birthday before trying to become pregnant again. That's what the doctors say. And, as a matter of fact, the Chazon Ish said, that, according to Nishmas Avraham, you can use any contraceptive, even a diaphragm, to wait 6 months to a year. Even without any special medical problems. Tchifos aledos and nachshevos asavak sakana. You should wait a year. Fretim shloim azalman and the foot on Nishmas Avraham. One child? Even after one child? How can that be? So the answer is, Beit Nisiv, yeah. Even after one child, you can wait a year. Some say you can even wait 2 years. Where's 2 years come from? Because in the olden days, they nursed for 2 years. When they nursed for 2 years, they didn't have any pregnancies. It takes 2 years to get back on their feet. After that, no special circumstances. So the Chas himself says she's Mushubetas Labaila. If she's extra pain, if you will say that, but she's, I'm 100% healthy. 2 years pass, I don't want any more children. You got a boy and a girl, shalom, no more. Is she entitled to say that? I think it depends to a large extent, if and when she's allowed to say it, upon the expectations upon marriage. In other words, like this. If she comes, they both come from a modern home. And modern homes, whatever it is, the number of children is not so great. And then all of a sudden, he flips after they're married. He wants to have a double-digit number of children. Like all of his Hasidic friends. Or his Yeshivish friends. I don't know the way he flipped. She said, I didn't bargain for this. When I married you, you were a modern guy. I'm still modern to some extent. I don't want to do this. I think she's right. Yeah?
Wasn't there something said in this Chuvah Nida about the husband becomes from a woman has to know that she's going to or others of some. That's why it was that. Meaning the spouse is going to become from you. You have to expect, we want our spouses to become from.
Listen, we all want everyone to be from.
But he was like a Talmud. She married a Talmud Chacham, so the expectations that
more and more from this guy was not a Talmud Chacham at all. He got a humanity, he's plain.
He's allowed to take an extra chumras even if she doesn't like it now because there's another. Really, she wants him to be from even though she doesn't like
listen,
it.
Listen, so she wants to have chumras, he won't eat chadash. I don't know, he won't eat chol of sam, he won't eat drink. That's his business, but not on my back. Not that I should have to carry 10 more kids. We got married, maybe they even talk, some people talk about it at the dates. So we'll have 2 kids, fine. And he said, I don't want 12 kids. I didn't bargain for this. Pukt Fakert. Someone gets married in a real Hasidish, Yeshivish family where they deal. And then she says, I changed my mind. I want to have only 2 kids. No. She's Meshubit if she's healthy to have more, because that was the understanding, the upmach when they got married. That's what I think. I'm talking in general terms. But if failing all that, if they're all in the same place where they were at the beginning, my general policy is she always wins. He wants more children, and she says, I'm too tired, she wins. She wants more children, says, I have no money, she also wins. Can you really?
We said before that she's Meshubit to him, though.
Her Meshubit is a relative term. I told you, they had a number of children that they would have expected to have. He wants more. She's not Meshubit, my opinion. Okay, but here's my last point. We have to finish in a few minutes. My fiercest opposition is the people who use contraception upon marriage. Every time I meet a chassan kala, I tell them to read first in the first line. I'm opposed to it. Opposed to it. Got it from a Rambam. The Rambam says a woman is not permitted to marry a ketana. Why not? There's no source for this. There's no source for this. I mean, not in Shas Bavli. There's no source for this. The answer is, but right now she can't have children. It's a Tosefta Nivamis. Not a Tosefta. That's the case. How can he marry a girl who's going to be on birth control? She's a Ketana! I mean, she's 20 years old. But if she's a Ketana who's 10, can't have children until she turns 12. Okay, let's assume 12. If it's theory, I have a child. But for those 2 years, she can't have a child. So you can marry a girl who's 20, she's going to go on birth control for 2 years. She's a Ketana! Quote. Now, the Rambam does say, this din, by the way, is found in the La Halacha. person can postpone marriage. That's true for good reasons. But postponing marriage is less chomer than this. Because postponing marriage is not a bitla mitzvah b'kum v'aseh. Hey, you're getting married and doing something to avoid having a child. That's worse than just not getting married from the perspective of Puruvu. I understand that from other perspectives it's the other way around. And they'll try to blackmail the rabbi. Rabbi, if you won't give me rishus to use birth control, then I won't get married. You know what that means? I said, I can't be blackmailed. I can't give you permission. I can't do it. We know that it's supposed to first bona bias, not the kerem, right? And you don't have that. As a mashah in that Gemara and Sota Mem Dalam, if you have the ability to do it, you do it in that order. The Torah Tzvima writes on the, in those Pesukim Parashat Shoftim, quote: if you have enough money, if you do in that order, but otherwise, you have to get married. Otherwise, mishu ani v'lo yisa isha li'olam. What are you kidding? Kidding? If you have no money, you put them in Puruvu. I don't think it's allowed. I don't think it's allowed. There were those who say, everyone should go on birth control because of these terrible quickie divorces. Terrible. It's taka terrible. I was just dealing with someone who was married for 6 months and has a child. They were divorced before the divorce or separated before the baby was even born. It's like a Shrek and they fight in court about it. It is terrible. But that every single person should practice birth control because of these rare cases, I can't accept it. Can't accept it.
What are the ramifications of the not having to spend more than a fifth for a mitzvah?
Very good question. Very good question. I love that question. Where am I going to tell you to look? Mincha Shlom Mechela Gimel Simen Kuf Gimel. If if kids are unfortunately blemished, genetically problematic, if the husband is afraid that the tzar that he and the children will have is worth that more than Chomash and the Chosov, he's potter. I don't understand. If you also have children, no. If after you spend on your kids, if you're left with a Chomash, you're lucky. Are you kidding? Kids spend more than 80% goes to the kids. Kind of 20%. I don't see how much Shlomo's out at all. I was a different reason why you put them. To bring children to the world who are you know, in advance going to be blemished. You're over a terrible Isser. You're Mitzar Adam Yisrael. You're taking a person and you're causing him a lifetime of pain. You're not allowed to do that, in my opinion. You're not allowed. If you have a genetic problem, you have to solve it one way or the other, not to pass it on to the next generation. That's what Dor Yeshorim or the screening. I'll end with one story because I have to go down. One story. This story, because I was asked to tell the story. Many years back, almost a couple came to me, they were engaged. They want to talk to me about something. I said, fine. They come to my office, birth control. I said, leave now. Leave now. You're not going to have what I have to tell you. No, I'm telling you, no. What was the problem? He was becoming a doctor. He wasn't going to be home at night. And she was emotionally unready to have a child, getting pregnant. I said, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I cannot give you any head to defer children. I see she's crying a little bit, you know. The mistake of Adam Arishan was he gave in to Chava's tears. Rabbanim cannot give in to tears just like this. Fine. 10 years later, I meet this couple at a yeshiva dinner. And they say, can we talk to you privately? I said, yeah. Do you remember where we met you? He said, yeah. Do you remember what it was about? I said, yeah. Richard was wild, pulls out a picture of wild, five delicious kids. He said, when I walked out of your house into the car, she burst out into uncontrollable sobbing. She was just nuts. She felt it, just couldn't handle it. Thank you for giving us a psak. Because of you, we have these five delicious kids. If you would have started stalling, who knows what would have happened. And medically, the guy's a doctor, the single most critical parameter for fertility is maternal age. The younger the mother, the better chance. It's arrogance. We We want birth control. Well, in X number of years now, well, then we'll press the button and then we'll have kids. Who say you have kids right away? That's a push it. There are a lot of infertile couples. Therefore, I recommend, again, special circumstances, a health issue, or the rare case where I figure the marriage is not going to last. They're getting married anyway. Okay. Those cases are different cases. But for the average individual, I know the cheshbonos, I have to finish my career, I have to make a living. You're never going to afford a child. Career, you juggle. Yeah. Ad kan. See you next week, Mr. Shimon.
2 weeks.
What's next week?
The holiday next week.
Oh, Thanksgiving.